A 5, 6, 7, 8. Hey, it's Razzle Dazzle Radio. And Razzle Dazzle actually comes from a play called Chicago by a very popular choreographer, Bob Fosse. Have you ever heard of him? Well, guess what? I have someone sitting next to me in the studio that actually danced with Bob Fosse. And Lester Holmes is here to talk about his life as a professional dancer, teacher, an aficionado of the dance. I'm so thrilled to have you, Lester. So thank you for being here. And Carolyn and I remember together the day you arrived in Maryland. And you're not a homegrown artist, while we speak to many of them here at Razzle Dazzle, but we waited with bated breath at the ballet bar at the Wally Saunders Dance Studio, wondering who was going to arrive. And you didn't disappoint us ever. So tell us about your journey from New York to Maryland. Let's get started with that first.
Okay. Well, I had just returned from teaching and choreographing in Florence, Italy, and ready to go back to the States, saying, now what do I do? 2 days after arriving, I went to audition for the original cast of Beauty and the Beast. And I made it through the first cut, and I got to the second cut, and for some reason I was all over the place. Bottom line, my knee went out. So I said, now what am I going to do? And my teacher at the time, Charles Kelly, was best friends with Wally Saunders, who owned the studio that Judy was speaking of. And so he said, Lester, why don't you come down with me? Because Wally had just passed away perhaps a couple weeks before. So with my crutches, I went down there and saw the studio, met some of the people, and had arranged to teach some summer classes, hoping my knee would have improved. Deciding, well, maybe Broadway is not right at this time, at least for me. To return to. So I went down there and met the people. I said, this sounds like fun. And I thought, well, geez, a dancing studio. I had just spent so much time teaching and a foreign language. I thought, well, this would be a lot easier in America. So as fate was, I ended up going down there and teaching. And then they Wally's partner, who had gotten the studio, said, would you like to come down here and take it over? One thing led to another, and by that summer of 1993, I went down there as the new owner of Wally Saunders Dance Studio in Pikesville, Maryland.
As much as we missed Wally, and we certainly did, Judy, right?
Yes.
You were terrific, and you brought a lot of the old-timers together and shared that. But what I'd like to know is I'd like you to go way back to your original roots, which we share, New Jersey.
Yay!
Yeah, where people are the smartest people in the world.
Absolutely.
That's because they learn how to drive around circles right from the beginning.
We don't know how to do that here in Maryland. I agree.
So anyway, back to New Jersey, where you really did get started.
Okay, well, my situation is probably typical of guys that I'll try to be as succinct as I can. I have a tendency to overtalk, but my mother's sister was a dancing studio owner, and she was a dancer. My mother was never, because they were raised by different parents. When we lived with her and she babysat us, I discovered dance. My brother and my cousin and myself took dancing lessons. I was probably 4 and a half, and I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Broke my leg when I was 5, broke my femur in 5 places, so was out of commission for a couple of years. But when I recovered, I wanted to go back to it. And so when I was around 8 years old, I was so excited to return to dance to discover that it was not popular for boys to dance. My family and everybody just teased me, and I said, okay. So I did what most boys at that time did. We quit and just danced in secret. So when I finally was 17, I decided I don't care, and I started sneaking back to dance class. I went to college to pursue dance, returned. Still, that was my passion, and I was determined to go follow dance, and that's when I went to New York and said, okay, this is me. And that's kind of where it started.
I can do that.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. So tell us about a dancer in New York. Lots dream to go there. Lots never make it there. So tell us about
Well, I will tell you,
as a dancer.
Okay,
in New
it's
York.
Very funny. I went to New York. I was so green from a small town in New Jersey, and I have to share this with my first audition. I gathered every picture. I took my graduation picture, any picture I had taken on a Kodak, and put them all in this huge folder, and went to the audition. And when, of course, I didn't make the cut, the director kindly handed me back my huge fat folder, looking at me like, oh my God, what is this boy doing? Because I was clueless.
So you got a scrapbook.
Yes, yeah. So I was grateful though for that in the long run. So anyway, I was so green. I went there and it was a matter of time, a long time before I just kind of got used to it, because I was in a world where everybody probably had been dancing their whole lives, especially in New York, where they knew all the ropes. So I had a lot to learn. I was very lucky that I was smart, I was disciplined, and I was passionate and motivated. That's what made me go, okay, Lester, stick it out, keep studying. I was fortunate, being a guy, to get scholarships, and I worked very hard. And fortunately, I started working. Every job I got from then on was a professional union job. So I was very lucky to have a nice career. So it worked out well for me. But, you know, it's interesting. Millions go to New York to pursue that career. But ultimately, it's such a small world because it's strange because you get to know everybody in show business. And it's very fun. I mean, it's hard, it's unfair, all of the negatives that come with it. But if you're passionate about it, you take the bad with the good. And it was just, I was finally doing what I think I was always meant to do and wanted to do.
Do you still keep in touch with a lot of the original folks from New York?
Absolutely.
How about Italy?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, when I went to Italy, it was so wonderful to go over and learn a new language, a new culture, make new friends. It was wonderful for me because it really set the groundwork for me really being my own person as a teacher. I credit my teacher in New York for giving me the tools to really understand the right way to teach in a graduated progressive system, all subjects. So I was able to implement it over there and in a different language. So when I came back from there, having made wonderful friends, wonderful experiences, had the best food in the world, I came back and, you know, my knee blowing out at that audition probably was fate because I think I was meant to be a teacher. And so Italy was really what I think gave me that boost, that confidence, and the experience to say, I can do this. So, yes, and I still have wonderful friends. One of my Italian students, who was 17 back then, he's 47. He's going to be in my wedding party. I mean, and I have friends that keep welcoming me back to stay with them. So, yeah, it's my family in Italy.
And your family here in Howard County, we love you here, too, since you just recently taught two or three master classes two at Kinetics and one at Misiko Ballet. So you reconnected with a lot of those students also.
Absolutely. Well, it's so fun to sit here with my peeps. Judy and Miss Carolyn Kellerman were two of the first people I ever met, and they both took me under their wing, you know, being new, not really knowing Baltimore, and introduced me, got me gigs, helped me meet people, tried to fix me up. Everything in the world. And
I was always doing that even with my own kids, you know. Get them married, you know. Hey, this ballerina is cute.
So I came here in 1993, and that was, oh my gosh, many, many years ago. And we are still, I value you guys as my dear friends. And it's wonderful always coming back. There is a part of me that will always be here.
And we know that, and we keep bringing you back because of it. And let me say, Lester, that you see that moment of fate with your knee, and it isn't always work out that a professional dancer is also a professional teacher, but you are so much of both. And you always keep your students as friends. So you just keep collecting them. So when you come back, we have all these little reunions, at least all different circles from all the places that you've taught all over. So that's just, that's a wonderful legacy that you have.
One of the joys that I have as a teacher is, and I became really aware of it in Italy, I taught in many places. And when I choreographed shows, I took students from all of the different studios, and they all became friends. So I was kind of what Carolyn is here. I was kind of the nucleus of this group of people that became close friends that still are dear friends these many years later. And so when I came here and I was in Maryland and I was lucky to have my studio and I ventured into colleges and the private studios, I found that it was so much fun being someone that could connect all of these people that I cherished, and they could also cherish each other. So it is a wonderful thing to have that as part of the joy also of being a teacher.
You're like the Will Rogers of dance. You never met a dancer you didn't like. How about that one? Okay, so I want to get the scoop, okay? What was it like to dance with Bob Fosse? Because he fascinates me. And for those of you that haven't seen it, you can watch a little bit about his life in Gwen Verdon's, and it's, you can rent it now, but it was about an 8-part serial, which was really interesting. I really enjoyed it because it told about his life professionally and outside of. So give us a scoop. What was he like?
Well, I will tell you, I was blessed to be what I believe to be the best era of dance in New York City ever. And it was the Fosse era. And so what had happened, I never did a show for Bob Fosse. Let me clarify that. But I auditioned with and for Bob Fosse, and he was a charming little soft-spoken guy, and it was for dancing, the original dancing. And I went, and I had that at that point worked very hard on technique and had gotten a decent voice, and I was an acrobat originally, so I got through to towards the end, and we were in the room with Bob Fosse, small groups. And doing pirouettes one at a time, et cetera. And he seemed to really like me. And then he came over to me, and I had a mouthful of silver metal braces. And back then, they were not the braces of today. They were metal mouth braces.
Okay, they weren't in color.
So he proceeded to ask me, Lester, when do the braces come off? And so I would have ripped them there off on the spot if it hadn't cost me thousands of dollars. And sadly, obviously, that was a factor in hiring me, because Bob Fosse hires very wonderful technical dancers or dancers with very good style also. And he was brilliant for hiring technique dancers that also could do all the ballet but could move in another way, the jazz style of the day, primarily his style. So he hired attractive dancers who could really dance, and a mattle mouth redhead was not going to happen that day. So, but I did audition for him. It was a wonderful experience. I will always cherish it. I auditioned also for Gwen Verdon, who was equally wonderful and a terrific gal to audition for. Many of my friends have danced with Bob Fosse. We share stories. We are from the Fosse generation. I only can hope that the young dancers of today will always remember Bob Fosse and what he gave to the dance world, and I know I will.
Let's talk about the technique of today, because I'm bothered by what's called contemporary ballet, lyrical ballet, contemporary jazz, modern dance, which isn't really modern anymore. And, you know, the categories have changed so much. I mean, classical ballet, we all know, is, you know, classical ballet, Russian-oriented pretty much. Never could figure out why the Russians do it so much better. But anyway, but what is it that you actually teach?
Well, it's interesting. I had done gymnastics, so I went to New York, and acrobatics is like gymnastics without the apparatus and more geared towards the stage. So I was a proficient acrobat before I am a ballet lover. Ballet, ballet, ballet is what I tell everyone, but I just didn't have that body, that facility. But to this day, I like to give myself my little ballet bar. I love to teach ballet. I think I know it very well. my forte, I had always thought, was jazz. And that's what I love teaching. It's my comfort zone. Jazz today seems to take a further back seat, further and further. And pretty much everywhere I teach, they no longer offer jazz. I'm going to be very careful with my views because I don't want to put a damper on things.
You can say anything you want. Well, on Razzle Dazzle.
What happened is
we have free press.
Teaching
free
in the colleges, it was very, very, very modern / contemporary heavy. Great. And I was always the single jazz and tap teacher in those large colleges where there was a faculty of at least 10 beyond modern teachers and some ballet teachers. So jazz was never important. In fact, it was an elective. So right away I was up against that. And so I felt somewhat diminished and undervalued because of what I taught, even though most of the work out there in the world, Vegas, nightclubs, cruise ships, Broadway, involved jazz and tap. So it was tough. But anyway, so I've never understood the big rise of contemporary, especially in the commercial world, because those that are supporters and advocates of contemporary think that that's the artistic world of profoundness and jazz is just silly nonsense. And so now all of a sudden, contemporary has risen to be the commercial success of television and movies. And I'm a little kind of going, And so all of my contemporaries are now thriving in the world of contemporary. And now it's kind of gone commercial. And again, it leaves me a little stymied, you know, because I was always... anyway, clearly very opinionated about what jazz is and what tap is and what musical theater is. So we're in a strange place now. Contemporary is such a broad term. I still don't understand it. I make jokes. I say contemporary is lyrical jazz with a flexed foot and a contraction.
Right, and somebody holding a leg way up there as you go.
You know, and my one other thing that I'm going to get grief for this, but I've earned the right to say it, is get overwhelmed by the need that dance has to have a message and say something. Why? There is a time for that. Dance is for fun, entertainment, expression. It doesn't have to be suffering and a poignant statement about something.
But it can.
Absolutely. But don't make it... I mean, everything now has to be so... has to say something. It doesn't always, you know...
Well, there was a man, George Balanchine, who brought the New York City Ballet to Columbia in 1967 and 68. And the ballets he created are neoclassic in the sense there's no story with many of them. And they just, it's musicality, it's dancing with that. I think your jazz classes are a lot like Balanchine's ballets in the sense as you just put that music on and we do the combination you told us to do, free it from the storyline of it, mm-hmm. and just perform the movements. So I see that as your gift,
well,
one of your gifts.
You.
And we did love you here at HCC when you taught here.
Thank you.
And we still do miss you, absolutely. So what's going on present day as a dancer, Lester?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been, you know, I am blessed to be able to do what I have been passionate to do my whole life.
And okay, can I also just say that you can still kill us? You can still come here. I want to just say this real quick. I had a quick conversation with some of your former tappers, and we all agreed that all the years we've tapped with you, we can never do a perfect class yet. We're still trying. So you still got it. So carry on.
Thank you. I just feel very, very, very blessed to have been able to do this for, I mean, getting up there, and I'm still able to do it. I miss teaching jazz, but it's still my heart. So I teach locally. Where I teach, I don't feel very valued and appreciated. I feel like, you know, moms and dads don't really care much about, you know, technique, and they just want to see the kids in a little cute costume. And so I feel like You know, being a male in suburbia isn't quite the same as teaching in New York City. So I have to live with that, but that's okay. But I teach here and there. I'm getting involved in community theater. Dance will always be a huge part of my life. And as I slow down in the teaching world, you know, I will always be active and be ready. I mean, what was lovely about coming here is I have an open invitation to come teach at these various places. So I definitely will always keep dancing until I'm probably 6 feet under.
Yes, and okay, can I say that you're going to be dancing up the aisle soon?
You sure may.
Okay, so we'd like to talk about past, present, and future. And so, you know, I'm the last one to talk about age, but this is going to be Lester's first wedding, and it's going to be quite something, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. Sometimes some of us find love late in life. So, you know, you don't want to wait around several years to see. This is the right one, and we are having a blowout, wonderful wedding of the year extraordinaire happening the end of September. And I'm very excited. My fiancé, that feels so weird to say mm-hmm. that, my goodness. You know, you have to remember that gay people never even imagined marriage being a possibility. So we didn't grow up like many people just imagining what it was like. So it's like, oh my gosh. So we're having a wedding. I don't know what the traditions are. We're creating our own, but it's going to be just a knockdown, drag out party.
Right.
Festive and fun. So I'm really looking forward to it, sharing that with everybody.
In rainbow, we might add too.
Yes, the theme is, of course, colors. Yes, bright and bold rainbow.
We'll be there.
Yes,
I hope some of the
course.
Audience won't be coming.
Yes.
So what's your advice, though, for people that have a passion for dance, as you did growing up, and them finding their way in the dance world now?
Well, you know, it's really hard. I mean, I had to do this. I mean, this may come as a surprise to people, but I was very academically gifted. I got full academic scholarship, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? It wasn't me. My brother, who I admire and love dearly, he chose a path that was more lucrative, but for 40-plus years, he hated his job. It wasn't in his heart. So I was blessed. I chose something. So what I would say to people, to tell you the truth, follow your heart, because you're going to be there for the rest of your life. Have a backup plan so that at least you can, that part of you can be a passion as a hobby, you know. But I did it. There are trade-offs. You know, I didn't get rich. It's possible. I mean, I got to tell you, some of these dancers that have found success are very, very successful financially. But that don't count on it. So I would say, you know, don't expect to get rich. You know, fulfill your soul and have a backup plan.
That's pretty good advice, too.
And there's something else we have to talk about and congratulate you on. You are a phenomenal choreographer. I've seen your work, and I've seen, especially as Deb DeVoe mentioned the other night for Glendale Country School, you choreographed A Night in the Ukraine, A Day in Hollywood, yes. I think it was called. And that tap number still remains Carol's Lehan's favorite number. She has said that many times. How do you do it? Because choreography is so different from you know, just teaching or performing. Yeah. And some people think it's like a math skill.
You know, it's very interesting. I don't know, because now it's funny, having been teaching at the colleges, now they teach courses on how to choreograph. And I'm going, that befuddles me, because I don't think Bob Fosse learned how to choreograph in college, or Anna White, or Michael Kidd. I just, you know, I think it's being in tune to the music, getting a feeling for the style of the movement. And I don't, you know, I would be a fool to say I create new steps. It's all been done. It's really how it's put together. And it's, we all have our unique imagination and a view, you know, and so I think I've done some nice stuff. I've done some great stuff. I've done some mediocre stuff. I probably have done some not so good stuff. But I do know that I love it, and I really listen to the music, and that's what does it for me. It's funny. I do all my choreography sitting in a chair.
Wow.
I envision it in my brain. I imagine the best dancers that I had that in my brain doing it, a group of Fosse dancers, and I imagine in my brain the choreography visually. And of course, one of my biggest flaws is I don't notate anything or write anything down. I have no records of anything I've done. I have to rely on the kindness of people like Carol and Judy to video it and send it to me. It's a big flaw, especially in the world, because if I'm now trying to pursue opportunities in choreography, I have nothing to present.
No lab annotation for you.
Oh,
huh?
My God. And I choreograph shows in two-hour performances of nothing but me and what I've choreographed in the world of dance. And I have nothing to show for it. I'm just really, really bad. So I just think it's because of my passion for it, choreography, loving music, loving musical theater. It's just something that I feel.
And what about your singing career? We never got into that. We only have about 5 minutes left on this show.
I will tell you, it's interesting. When I first went to New York, my first job I got was because of my voice. Mm. I know. And I signed the contract with, interestingly enough, Jay Norman, who was in the original West Side Story. I did not know that at the time. Delightful, sweet man. My friends talked me into accepting the contract as an acrobat, doing a tour with Sid Charisse and Tony Martin, because the pay was better, even though the experience was different. And so I opted out of the singing gig. So I always wonder, gee, if I'd have really pursued the other route, I think I would have been a much more versatile performer and talent. But anyway, so I got hired as a dancer. I had a nice voice, but it's like many things. The more you learn, the more you get self-conscious, because I am a perfectionist. And if I didn't have a perfect voice, I just thought I was that way with dance. That's how I think I became a very good dancer. And then I taught, so I stopped singing for many years. Because you can't do 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times a day and sing. So I have recently gotten back into it. I am determined to start doing roles, using my voice, because at my age, they're not looking for a dancer. So that to be continued.
Well. Did you have to sing for Bob Fosse?
I did.
Okay. I figured that would be part of the audition.
I was pleased with what I did. I mean, it was safe, but yeah.
So, are you thinking about joining up with a chorus or something like that to get rocking again?
Well, what I do now is I teach musical theater and I incorporate singing in it. So I kind of give them a little bit of a vocal technique, and it helps me along too to build my confidence, so that one day I'm gonna my dream is to be able to sing that song that I love so well, "Till I Hear You Sing." It was from the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, one of my favorite singers. His name is Ramin, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Kimerlu or something like that. And my goal was to one day, all of my people that said, "Oh yeah, right, Lester, you can sing," to one day sing that song and have them go, "Oh my gosh, Lester, you aren't lying." So stay tuned.
Well, maybe this time next year you can come back and we'll interview you as a singer.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It's a goal.
Before we close, you are leaving the studio and going over to Maureen Berry's...
Dear, sweet, wonderful Maureen, yes.
We agree.
And we have to hype her Jacob's Pillow debut. It's at the end of July. And if there's anybody heading north, north of New York City, this was the mecca for modern dance, the old-fashioned modern dance.
Mm-hmm.
But today it incorporates everything. And obviously her Irish step dancing as well as her tapping is extraordinary.
Yes.
And I do congratulate Maureen Berry. And I'm so glad you're going to be teaching for her.
Yes.
And I think we ought to close this show today with singing, all of us, Razzle Dazzle. Give me a little Razzle Dazzle.
Oh, I don't know about that, Carolyn. Yeah. Actually, just let me give a little promote of some dance going on here locally, and we'll think about getting in tune for your idea. So don't forget, you can dance under the people tree on Friday nights at 7 o'clock. Come on out and look in through all the dance studios here, because there's lots of summer adult classes, dance camps, and master classes. Give them the old razzle-dazzle.
Come on, girls.
Razzle-dazzle them.
Okay,
all right. 5, 6, 7, 8. Keep dancing. Gotta dance, gotta move.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.